Hey Tony, all season long, we've kind of talked about, the big moments for your team. And you've said in the past you haven't had that fear that the moment was too big, and they've kind of lived up to that, both in the SEC tournament and in the super regional play. Do you expect more of the same, even though the stage now is the biggest that they've been on all year?
Yeah, I do. I kind of expect it from the other teams that are here too. Although it's an interesting year because no one here can say that they were in Omaha last year because of the pandemic. So I think because of that, and then also just because we're all human, everyone's gonna it'll be inevitable gonna have some sort of extra nerves or different feelings going into the first pitch, or maybe even leading up to the anthem and things like that. But once the game starts, I think our guys are here, and most likely the other teams are here because they've done what you said. They've kind of just played, and regardless if the game is perceived as not a big one or it's big circumstances, they've just played and been more true to who they are. I think they kind of have found a way to put pressure on themselves in other areas that are a little bit more controllable and are a little bit more pertinent to who they are as a specific group, as opposed to worrying about, the things that are outside of that locker room, media, the opponent, or, the hype behind the game.
You talk about the pressure that they've put on themselves. What are just some examples of that?
I think to kind of be the best version of they are is the easy kind of one-liner to say, but more about having fun. And if a guy's down on himself because of personal performance, or maybe it's just a practice and it's something that's going on in his personal life, they kind of go out of their way to make that he's on with what they got going on. And then two, Q usually starts our day with a variety of things. And obviously stretching is one of them, but if they're not on board with what Q's got going on, they're going to hear about it. And there will be no politically correct statements that follow. It'll be pretty blunt. So it's just little things about following their routines and kind of the culture that they've created for the specific, in specific, I should say, the 2021 team that they really pay a lot of attention to. And I think, if anything, it serves as a healthy distraction from some of the other things that are out there.
With y'all's ability, I guess, to not tax some of your bullpen arms too much so far in the tournament, and the more spaced out part, do you imagine being able to push Hundley, Redmond, Camden more? And then second thought, I think it would be about a little over 2 weeks for since Will's last outing if he started that third game on Thursday or Friday. Is that any level of concern? Do you think about trying to get him any innings before that, or what's kind of the thought process?
No, I think it's a benefit to Will because he had three starts in 8 days. I think it was 8 or 9 days. That's a lot. And while Will didn't go to 100 pitches in any of those outings, he was asked to do a lot in big situations, adverse temperatures and things like that. So to get some breathing room, I think, is a benefit. And it's not like he's a younger guy that hasn't had a lot of repetitions under his belt. He's got that married magic going on, so he's been around the block or two. Any concern that anyone would have, I personally didn't have it, I think would be erased at how he threw the ball against some hitters the other day. We decided, under Coach Anderson's direction to, put him on the mound and get him up and down a few times. And he had a little snap to him. I mean, it was coming out really good out of the hand. But also, I think Will has evolved into a guy that knows who he is and how good he can be, and he's got some confidence to him.
Y'all's ability not to have to use Hundley and Redmond and those guys.
Sorry. Get going on some tangents here. I think that matters a lot. I mean, you can't deny it. Doesn't mean a kid isn't in this tournament or hasn't before can't overcome being used a lot. I remember when Coastal won, they leaned on a guy big time while they were here. So you can do that, but I think the longer you can put it off, the better that guy's going to be able to handle that extra workload. And I remember there was, a couple crazy weeks there for Sean and some other guys where they really got used a lot, but we never took it to the extreme. And then down the home stretch, since May 1st has rolled around, we've really had good balance with all those guys.
Tony, I wanted to ask you about kind of the size of TD Ameritrade. That's been a big conversation. I believe you all led the SEC in lowest ERA this season, and doing so in a hitter-friendly ballpark. A, just how impressive is that? And then B, I mean, how much of an advantage is it going to be for Chad and those guys who really found the zone to be able to get into a big ballpark.
Yeah, no, it does play bigger here. There's a lot more foul ground. That's one thing that I think plays into it a little bit. And then if you catch it on the right day, it could play a little more offensive. But overall, it's going to favor the pitchers. I think our park is like a lot of parks throughout the country. Based on weather, it could go one way or the other. And the most recent attention has come from, you know, first of all, when you got guys like Dylan Cruz and Jordan Beck hitting, there's going to be a ball that leaves the park. But there were certain days, and same thing with Wright State's lineup. So that's played into a little bit of it. But there's also been several games there where it's 3-1, 4-3, where because of the environment, the ball's not carrying as much. So I think here it's a little bit more balanced as opposed to back and forth. And I do think it'll favor our pitchers, but I really think if there's any advantage with this ballpark, it's that Hoover is kind of a modified version of this. It's a huge neutral crowd. It's media attention. It's police escorts. It's heavy competition. It's more foul ground. It's a park that plays bigger. Since they've moved the fences in, it's not quite as big. And then again, there are those blips on the radar screen where it can turn offensive a little bit. So it might be one reason why some SEC teams in the past have had success.
This is a different, really different schedule. What's the best way to take a team that's so used to routine and help them manage the spaces between games, which could be over a good stretch?
Well, you know, had to answer like 15 questions about the daddy hat today. And, you know, we always are preaching hydration, and today we're record temperatures around here. But these guys, I mentioned the hat because these guys have kind of taken over the locker room, and we don't have to go in there and we don't have to dictate things to them. We make recommendations, but they've kind of proven that they've got their own deal going on, and they're good at making decisions. So all it really does is it gives you a bigger window of time where you need to make your own decisions. And I think these guys, part of it is because of age, you know, whether it be COVID or, you know, a lot of guys we've had with us for a while. But part of it is just guys that more than anything, they just want to win. They don't necessarily need credit. They don't want this or that. They don't want to win, but also want to do, you know, other things that maybe they're not supposed to be doing. And those decisions have been strong all year long. So that to me is not really an issue. And then their routines, kind of like I was talking with Jordan, it's hard to list them because they're little tiny things, but I think our guys' routines have been more about when they come to the park, they're going to take this seriously, or this is the part where they're going to be loose, or they're going to, you know, talk about this at the end or the beginning. We're going to have our meetings that we always do. And so this schedule, even though it is more spaced out, still allows for that. We had a workout today. We'll have one tomorrow. And we'll have our close to our regular pregame on Sunday. So all in all, I think it balances out okay.
Tony, on the other side of the bracket is Vanderbilt, obviously something you wouldn't have to worry about unless you advance or keep advancing. But how good is it to have, you know, two of the three SEC teams coming from Tennessee 200 miles apart with all the history and rivalry that's between these teams?
I think it's really cool for the state. And because of the population boom in Nashville, the baseball in Tennessee is getting better. But there's also other reasons why, some of the coaching, some of the facilities that are being built. And then now this, I mean, to me, this should be another spark for yet another flame that the communities that we're all surrounded by and bleeding all the way down, you know, into West Tennessee too, and closer to Memphis, it should spark even another age group or maybe another wave of improvement in the baseball in our state. And it should create a stronger following too. People should realize that they don't have to drive to Atlanta or to St. Louis or other cities that might be closer to see big league baseball players. They can see them for a cheaper ticket in a closer seat, relatively close to where they live. But I've mentioned it a couple times on media, being a guy that I was fortunate enough to work in the state of Texas, where they have so much pride and baseball along with other athletics are so huge down there. California, Florida is in the SEC. There's only one state with two teams here this year. So it's something I think should be celebrated.
Hey, Tony, two questions. How is the team, man? I know you guys haven't been there long, but how do you think they've managed everything so far from you know, doing intro videos and, you know, media appearances, stuff like that out in Omaha. Do you compare it to anything that you've gone through? I know the SEC tournament was a little different. And then second, you know, what do you think of, you know, your lineup when it comes to hitting against Virginia and being able to, you know, play the field, whatnot, kind of going off what Ben said, play the field a little bit, especially since it's a lot harder to go long.
Right, right. Well, you know, I kind of mentioned this to Rick when we were getting on the bus. You talk about winning on Sunday, and you're going to celebrate that win. You know, you stay on the field for a while, and the guys stay at the facility for a long time Sunday evening. You do interviews, and you answer text messages and things like that. And then next thing you know, we have two lifts, three practices before we get on a plane Wednesday afternoon. That's a lot of stuff crammed into one small time, you know, packing up and all these different things. So probably not until right now, you know, our guys are probably out of their practice stuff and the dress rehearsal stuff. Probably not until this moment right now have they been able to kind of catch their breath. So I think they've been good about the grind part so far. Now it's kind of up to them to relax, and you can come here and you can play hard and you can also enjoy the experience. Again, I think that comes down to decision-making. Our guys have done well with that. And if anything, when they do get their opportunities to get in front of the camera, I don't think anybody will do anything wrong. But we definitely got some guys that like to ham it up a little bit. So I think they'll enjoy it and they'll give, you know, ESPN or you guys or other people stuff to talk about. As far as the park goes with our hitting, we've been in different environments. And like I said, our park, there's been days where you just know it's going to be a low scoring game. And there's been other type of environments we've been in, and we've had games where we win ugly because we just pitched and played defense. You've seen Coach Elander move a lot of guys, and we have very balanced stolen base numbers and sacrifice hit numbers. So I think the most fun thing for the fans to watch is, again, watch a couple of these guys like Jordan hit it as far as they can. But that's not how it always works out. And I think the more diversified your portfolio is in offense, the higher percentage of chance you're going to win. And we're playing in a big ballpark against a lefty who I bet his teammates will argue is the best left-handed pitcher in the country, in a program that's very storied and very well-versed in Omaha. So I can't tell you exactly what the script is going to look like, but I can tell you the script calls for you better compete your butt off and scratch and claw and find any way to score, you know, however many runs it takes to win the ball game.
Tony, Teresa asked some of what I wanted to ask regarding the two teams from Tennessee. But yesterday before leaving Nashville, Coach Corbin was asked about Tennessee and what you guys have done. And he said, you know, after that series back in April, he looked to his staff and he said, that's an Omaha team. So I wanted to ask you about that and the mutual respect for these two Tennessee teams. And then how, also second question, how fun was the deal with Peyton the other day?
That deal was zero fun for me. I was, I like hanging out with Peyton. That's really fun because he has a knack for making you feel like you're the superstar. He's just a down to earth guy and is really fun to hang out with. But you first bring in the Zoom deal, and I've yet to really, I wish, you know, we could do this in person with you guys, 'cause you can read the room a little better. We can joke with each other. So Zoom is still not my favorite after all this time. And then you throw in the fact you're supposed to do an acting thing with a guy who's probably been in 50 to 100 commercials. He's hosted Saturday Night Live, for gosh sakes. And I got no idea what I'm doing. And I know anything that Peyton's in is going to get attention. So while I'm doing lines or doing whatever's asked, I mean, the outtakes would have been really good. But anyway, all I'm thinking is how crushed am I going to get by people for how bad an actor I am. But I'm glad it's over with, and I'm glad to take part in anything with him and to promote ball fans, you know, coming here for sure. No, I like the on the, I'm more comfortable in the competing thing. And I really, you know, it's crazy to say, enjoy the competitiveness of that Vanderbilt series. So the fact that Coach Corbin had that to say about our club means a lot because he knows what it looks like. He and a few of the other coaches have been here multiple times and they know what it looks like. So I wish he would have came over and said that to me on Sunday. I might have been in a better mood because we did lose that series. But, you know, I think it was something that prepared us for things deeper down the road. And it certainly, in a roundabout way, improved our team.
For what it's worth, your acting was first class.
I appreciate you saying that, although I know it's one Italian picking up another there. So,
all right, Tony, this Virginia team kind of flipped a switch back in April. They had a losing record going into April. What do you see in this team? What do they do well? Why are they here in the World Series? What makes them special?
Sure. Well, I think like our club, they got some personality to them. I mean, obviously their closers interview took the, you know, Twitterverse or whatever goes on out there by storm. He's comfortable in his own skin and had some great comedy in his interview. You know, Abbott is the lefty that I mentioned we'll see on Sunday, has kind of led the way. But I think it's kind of on based off that experience. You know, their coaching staff has been, you know, together for quite some time. They know how to navigate their way through tough times of the season, and then also how to build up their team, you know, towards playing your best in May. That's what we all want, and it's what we say. But, you know, if we could sell that and do it every year, you'd make it more than $1 million. And I think like our team, they've got a balanced attack. You know, they do have a couple guys that can drive the ball to the ballpark consistently, but it's an offense that finds a few different ways to score. And they do it again behind that pitching staff that I think has kind of been a big catalyst for them as well.
Looking back at the program's progression during your time there, now reaching Omaha, what do you look back on now and say, we couldn't have done it without this? And would that answer be any different from what you might have expected on the front end when you first took the job?
You know, I think it would be. You ultimately think about recruiting and players. And trust me, hopefully our players can see it in my eyes and know the gratitude I have for what they've done. And that includes the ones that are no longer a part of the program for whatever reason. It's been a great group of individuals that have helped us, you know, in uniform. I mean, obviously BFLs have helped us too, but the guys that have played for us. But I don't know that that's been the number one thing for us. I think it's the people that work around our players. And some of them, like Woody, our trainer, and Megan, our academic coordinator, we inherited those folks. And then the rest of the deal was kind of a blank slate, and it was a lot. I mean, we were trying to recruit in the middle of the summer and play catch up in recruiting while hiring people. And when I say we, I'm talking about Frank, who's our pitching coach, but also was the guy that we hired right away because I needed somebody that was smarter and more experienced than I at working through some of the head coaching responsibilities and other big decisions that can shift the program one way or the other. So it started with him. And it was complimented by some of the folks we inherited, but it went all the way to October where Quentin Eberhardt was our final hire as our strength coach. And we went the slowest on that one, you know, to be the surest about what we wanted to do, because that's a huge culture impact deal that goes on in the weight room. And I'd love to point out one or more of those guys that get credit, but Josh and Ross on the bases and Richard Jackson and a few other guys that we have just around our kids, I think have made those recruits or those kids better. And it's kind of become our niche. It's a people, I hate to try and recruit you, but it's a people program. As the facility gets better, maybe our tradition builds, if we can continue to have success, those will be things or flags we can fly high. But right now I think the flag that we fly highest and is most crucial is just the people thing, the relationship deal.
Yeah, Tony, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago that y'all were talking about, you know, Pavloni, and he might not be able to play every day because he'd been banged up with that hand. And when he came back, he had to monitor it. But I guess, lo and behold, he's kind of been there every day for the most part. And he's been hitting better than he was, you know, before the injury. Just how is he health-wise, and how important is it what he's been able to do despite being a little dinged up?
You know, I think he's in good shape. And we talked earlier, I should have threw this out prior to your question. We talked earlier about we haven't really had to wear out Hundley, Wall, Sewell, you know, all these guys. You know, other guys are in the bullpen fresh too. But your catcher can really wear down this time of year. And because of having Jackson Greer to complement Pav, not only were we able to spell Pav at times throughout the year, but we were able to win games when Pav couldn't play at all. And now as we sit here in the great state of Nebraska, where you'd love to be this time of year, Pav is, I don't want to say well-rested because we've done a lot the last few weeks, but he's not in the same spot maybe some of the other catchers that are here that have caught all year long, because he kind of had that break, which, it was no vacation to him. He wanted to play, but it was a break where he had relief from being out there and wearing himself down.
I also wanted to ask you about, you know, Sean Hundley. I know he's named All-American again by somebody today. It just seems like for a guy who doesn't throw like 97, 98, gets a lot of swings and misses, works up high in the zone. Is he one of those really high spin rate guys, or how is he able to do what he does?
Well, I think part of it starts with who he is. I mean, I know you said, you know, that's kind of part of your question, but I'm going to pull a part of that and say it's who he is. I mean, comes from a great family, great kid, cares about his teammates more than he cares about himself, which is why he's one of our biggest leaders. He's got a work ethic that isn't a, I'm in your face, I'm going to sweat and, you know, yell stuff in the weight room, but it's a little more strategic, and he does not like it when he does not have success. And that's where you've seen kind of a consistent improvement as a pitcher during his time. And he's been able to handle bigger and bigger situations as time progresses, you know, in his career here. And then there's a great relationship with Frank too. Part of that is he's right up Frank's alley. I mean, Frank would love to coach a guy like Crochet, left-handed, throwing 100, built like Gronkowski. But the first thing on the list of priorities for Frank is to locate. And I think Sean locates really well. And you see guys, not just on our team, but in college baseball, regardless of their stuff, you know, if they're locating their pitches or they work ahead, which are old, you know, boring things to say, but they've been around forever because they work and they will continue to work. So it's hard to give one answer with Sean, but he's a special, unique kid, and he deserves any award he gets personally. But I know, you know, he's not too caught up in that stuff. He really is dead set on seeing this team do as well as it can.
Yeah, Tony, you were talking earlier about having to scratch and claw this time of year, and every team you're going to play at this time of year is going to be a really good team, great team. Just how comforting is it to know that you don't have to worry about your guys scratching and clawing, that they're going to play hard? And I would imagine that you feel like the moment's not going to be too big for them. Just how comforting is that going into the week?
Yeah, I think you know what you're getting, and it's frustrating because I've been there before, and I've been a part of coaching staffs where whether it's the starting pitcher or the way your team plays, and you don't know what you're going to get, it's unsettling. So now instead of the normal nerves or fear of, you know, whatever it might be, or just amped up adrenaline, all the normal things are compounded by the fact you're not really sure what's going to happen or what you're going to get out of your group. And, you know, these guys have put together, like I said, they've kind of put together their own formula that works. And each day we have a particular guy starting on the mound. We know to some extent what he's going to do. We know what our bullpen's going to do for us. We know how the guys are going to behave in the dugout, how our pregame preparation is going to be. And then ultimately, to your point, you know, the guys will play hard and they'll play for each other, and they're probably going to have some fun while they'll do it, and we'll see where it leaves us. And because they have some skill and because they have a ton of determination, it's left us in the win column a good amount of times, which I've been the benefactor of being around.
Tony, kind of keeping things super serious, you've had about 30 or so games here to kind of learn these guys while they're on the road. Is there a group or a pairing that kind of keeps things entertaining when they're kind of rooming together? Or is there also kind of a pairing where you would not want to be paired up with a guy and rooming with a guy, a certain guy that kind of sticks out who, you know, you just wouldn't mess with on the road there?
Right. No, it's interesting. I mean, Chad Dallas is the easy answer. I mean, the guy's goofy as all hell. And, you know, he leads the charge when he's pitching in the dugout, away from the field, locker room, and he's a special kid from a special family, and the guys kind of rally around him in all sorts. Another one that's just been interesting is, you know, with the kids moving out of the dorms, Will Heflin has taken in Blade Tidwell, and it's just been great to kind of see that friendship, and there's a little bit of yin and yang there. It's a pretty cool deal. And then I could go up and down the roster, but a guy like Cortland Lawson, who lives with Fergie and Liam and Pav, guys who are the concrete glue to the middle of our field. You know, Cortland hasn't had as many reps, although he's done well with his. He's been one of those guys that's kind of found his personality in the dugout and on the bus and things like that. And it's just one example of several guys that have found their little niche. And, you know, I had to go do a thing at the stadium a few minutes ago, and I take note. All right, it's these six guys. You kind of know what kind of behavior you're going to get. And if it was three different guys, you'd kind of know where the conversation's going to go. But the bottom line is it's a fun group that's got personality to them.
You've been here and been a part of this before, but how different are the demands as a head coach getting a team ready for the College World Series, just in the preparation and getting to Omaha, as well as all the things that you have to address that don't have a thing to do about getting between the lines?
I'd say the biggest demand, John, is walking around this condo that they gave me for hell room. I must have thought I was Peyton Manning himself or somebody else. Like, you see my nice artwork I got right here. Hopefully that impresses you. But it's been pretty cool to come and get all the attention that everybody's gotten. They've really done this thing up, and each year it gets bigger and better. So they take care of you. And while you have to stay busy fulfilling some duties, they really make it easy, whether it's the accommodations. I mean, we're in a great hotel. The meals, people guiding you in the right direction, and how friendly everybody is. So it's really just kind of like, you know, being at home. Normally when you're on the road, you actually get a little more breathing room and downtime. That downtime has been removed so far here, but it's all kind of run smoothly. It's almost kind of like you got the deal on autopilot. So, you know, thus far it's been enjoyable, but obviously the most enjoyable things would be wins.
Hey, Tony, yesterday before you boarded the buses, you kind of mentioned just the guys soaking in the moment. And I know that you're not just there to get to Omaha, to see Omaha. You want to go there and be there for a long period of time. But for those players who, of course, haven't been there, what's it like just watching them see the ballpark, watching them go through the media that you all have done today and kind of get to see some of the benefits of the hard work that they've done this season?
Yeah, I've caught myself a few times. It's interesting. They flipped the switch. And when we've done some training stuff or meeting, you can see there's a sense of focus to the guys. But outside of that, it's not like, you know, holy cow, it's the first time they've been in the big city or anything like that type of deal. But you see some smiles and some vibes kind of coming off them that make you for a moment feel like you're one of them, you know, 18, 19-year-old bright-eyed kid that's experiencing something really special that they've dreamt about. So you can either, like I said, at times feel it, see it, or both. But I think they're truly enjoying the fact that they've earned the right here and to be here and are doing more than just soaking it in. They're making sure they remember it and they enjoy it.